Hi, folks. Bill Resnick reporting. I've been spending some time watching the highlights of the House of Representatives. They're hearing, after investigating the January 6th very odd insurrection or coup, I found it riveting TV. The workings of the Trump White House, it was Shakespearean, a crazed, erratic leader, an angry populist, and that leader's grip. A palace court of sycophantic advisors, weird hangers-on, a number of pretenders to the throne maneuvering, a first family trying to save Trump from himself. Most amazing, he came close to succeeding. With Trump pulling it off, Pence had caved, that delaying the certification, this creating clashes on the streets between MAGAs and the left in most big cities. Trump then, happy about that, chortling, then declaring martial law to keep the peace and ensure law and order and public safety, and the country then entering uncharted waters. Well, that nearly happened, but it didn't. Still, the coup attempts and the hearing and proceedings were raising and impacting a set of national questions, some profound, others tactical. Those questions include, can U.S. democracy, thin, troubled, weak, can it be fixed, even restructured towards authentic participation? Also, what's going to happen to Trump? Will he be indicted? If so, what if he's acquitted? It only takes one person in a 12-person jury. Could Trump have learned from his experience? He threatened he'd run for president again, and can, in fact, he decide he wants to stay on? It could happen again, and more dangerous. I think he's learned a lot. First, I'll go through the goal of the hearing, which was to paint the picture of the insurrection and its origins and organizing, as well as a frame and an indictment of Trump. It was Liz Cheney, a Republican, but fervent, never Trumper. She noted in her introductory comments that Trump for several months led his sophisticated 7-point plan to overturn the 2020 presidential election. So point one, President Trump engaged in a massive effort to spread false and fraudulent information to the American public, claiming the 2020 election was stolen from him. Point two, Trump corruptly planned to replace the acting attorney general so that the Department of Justice would support his fake election claims. Trump corruptly pressured Vice President Pence to refuse to count certified electoral votes in violation of the U.S. Constitution and the law. Trump corruptly pressured state election officials and state legislators to change election results. President Trump's legal team and other Trump associates instructed Republicans in multiple states to create false electoral slates and transmit those slates to Congress and the National Archives. Trump summoned and assembled a violent mob in Washington and directed them to march on the U.S. Capitol. As the violence was underway, Trump ignored multiple pleas for assistance and failed to take immediate action to stop the violence and instruct his supporters to leave the Capitol. In brief, Cheney charged Trump. He summoned the mob, he assembled the mob, and he lit the flames of this attack. Donald Trump and his allies and supporters, they're a clear and present danger to American democracy. That from arch-conservative lawyer J. Michael Luckin, who told the committee that in the third hearing. In the second and third day-long sessions, the assembled members of the hearing committee, they substantiated their case as the basis for an indictment. Looking back, what I found amazing, pretty astonishing, frightening, it could have worked, and some scheme might work the second time around. Pence could have caved, but if so, I don't think that Trump could have succeeded in taking and solidifying power, and then the country would really be in uncharted waters that Trump forces could not navigate unless he could prove he had legitimately elected or by cracking down on with a police state, which I suspect nearly all military and most police command would now resist. Unless the extreme Christian right, the white supremacists, and the militias that infiltrated the army and police to a degree that no one has claimed. In addition, if he declared martial law, there would be widespread worker non-cooperation, sit-downs, withdrawal from work, and capital, the corporations, They, too, would like to see him retired. For in elite circles, it's widely recognized that Trump was scattered, erratic, unstable, unfit to lead. I guess that in that uncharted territory that would exist if he had succeeded, the existing elites would arrange some sort of ruling apparatus, much influence by the military, police, top public officials, trying to keep things quiet while preparing for a special election and figuring out a way of settling things and returning to business as usual. Trump might imagine himself a potentate ready to settle scores, but my sense is that the power institutions in society would leave him unable to execute his writ because he didn't control the military or police. Trump surely learned a lot in his 4 years, though. If he runs in 2024, if he manages to win against a weak Biden hobbled by economic and public safety problems, he will spend more time choosing his military leaders and developing relations with police. So what's next? Trump got defeated. Pence didn't cave. Trump is not in power. Indeed, the House of Representatives and Investigatory Committee has developed a convincing case that he committed several serious federal crimes. But will the U.S. Department of Justice prosecute, and can it gain a verdict of guilty as charged? The trial would become a national spectacle, dramatic, deadly serious, with vast political impacts, and covered exhaustively in all media. Merrick Garland, the Attorney General, head of the Department of Justice, has a real headache. My sense is that the DOJ can make a terrific case, but can't they prove it beyond a reasonable doubt, particularly as to Trump's beliefs that he won the election? More to the point, can he convince all 12 jurors in a country where a third of the people believe in Trump as their savior and the last honest man? With the court victory, Trump might emerge stronger than ever and able to claim that he has been the victim of a vicious campaign of slander from the left because the U.S. American people have come to see that it's he who supports the American working class. Okay, and this analysis of the hearing, the whole episode reinforced the need to what's known as fixing democracy. Indeed, before Trump, pretty much every observer found U.S. democracy to be deficient in near every dimension, in its mechanics, its structures, its rules, its eligibility standards, its advantaging people with means. And political scientists have devised many reforms that work to ensure free elections and accurate results, for example, requiring paper ballot and voting machines, testing and audits of machines, frequent backup of voter registration databases, and much, much more. But today, the Republican Party is on a campaign to lock in Republican political party across the country. Reform programs are being bitten back in all but solid Democratic areas, even reforms that would make it impossible to employ Trump strategies for ignoring the vote have been rejected. Still, the big cities remain liberal. Some important structural changes are possible, including ranked choice voting that greatly increases the voices who get a hearing, who get heard. And it greatly enriches political debate. In the final analysis, though, only if we build powerful movements from below to be sure more difficult because of the political structure can the political system come to fair, secure, and participatory elections. Finally, it's worth examining the Trump's impact on the November election this year, the presidential election in 2024, and in continuing elections. Indeed, in the short run, U.S. politics will be in the shadow of Trump. Will he run? Can he keep his forces active and angry? Can he successfully reach out to suburban women and socially conservative Latinos? Can he fend off his Republican rivals, namely Pence himself, DeSantis, Hawley, and others rumored ready to challenge Trump and one another, of course? What is clear, a neo-fascist force has taken root in the Republican Party, and they must be defeated. But in the longer run, the big political issues are less about the wedged social issues and more about environmental issues, particularly global warming, that will take center stage, particularly as climate disasters become more damaging and dangerous. For the left, the goal is for progressive solutions carried by left movements and parties to be in a contending position, ultimately besting the capitalist solution when the people come to demand a wartime-like mobilization to save the planet. This then frames the future for the left. That is, working in politics to defeat the fascists, to support sexual rights and freedom, to gain disarmament on the national and international fronts, and to win the authority to direct the mobilization necessary to stop global roasting and maintain a livable planet. And that will require working in the electoral and in movement building. So this was Bill Resnick for the Old Mole.